ॐ अज्ञानं तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनासलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचलम् अङ्गुं न गायते गरि यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं विनतानं नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी विशेष संगवाणी वस्तुचरे सुतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So I thank you all for giving me this opportunity to be with you this evening. I also like to thank Tina
for
very kindly inviting me here to be with you. I'm very grateful that she's made this arrangement for me to come and share this time with you. She's always very kind to me. And I'm very honored to be here. I hope I may be able to speak something and share something with you this evening which may be relevant to you. I've learned from my spiritual master who taught me by his own example that my life should be used for sharing something very valuable. He taught that to me, as I said, by his own example, by sharing something very valuable with me.
那就像我刚才说的，他是以身作则的，就是把他有的那些非常有价值的东西分享给我，以这样的方式教导我。
And naturally, when somebody shares something valuable with you, you want to do something to reciprocate.
那很自然的，当有人给你分享了有价值的东西的时候，你自然而然的就想要去回应回报。
As an expression of gratitude.
啊，这个呢是一种礼敬。
But I found in my relationship with my spiritual master.
但是呢，我就是发现，在我跟我自己灵性导师的这个关系当中。
That he didn't want anything from me.
他呢，却什么都不想从我这里得到。
His life was simply dedicated to giving.
他的一生都是献出来去给予的。
And my experience was that he was most happy when I would share that which he gave to me with others.
那我自己的体验就是说，当他把他给我的也都分享给大家的时候，他是最快乐的。Never
wanting anything for himself.
而他自己从来都不希望有任何的回报。So
I've learned that in the last 40 years.
那么，过去的40年来，我学到了这个。Since
I first met my spiritual master.
那就是40年前我第一次见到了我的灵性导师。And
therefore, in gratitude to him.
因此呢，为了感激他。
I would like to share some of my realizations and experiences that I've gleaned from my association with him.
为了感激他呢，我呢就想要把我跟他这个交往最后得到的很多的体验来跟大家做一些分享。
I'd like to begin tonight by telling a story.
那么今天晚上呢，我想先以讲故事的形式开始。
And I don't ordinarily speak about myself.
我一般的情况下不太会讲我自己的。But
this is a story that I experienced.
但是呢，我现在讲的这个故事是我自己的亲身体验。And
the focus of the story beginning was more or less on me.
啊，而这个故事的这个焦点呢，实际上开始实际上是跟我有关的，是。
And I hope by sharing this story with you, we can touch on many important points that really changed my life.
嗯，那么我就希望呢，通过分享我自己的这个体验，在这个过程当中，我们就有很多很多的重点要谈的东西都谈出来了。
And also, gave valuable impressions to others.
啊，那么这些重点呢，都是改变了我的一生。因此，我希望跟大家分享，让大家感受到那样的一个价值。
It's an experience I had with a gentleman.
啊，我体验跟一个绅士。
It was about, I know, maybe around 10 years ago.
那、啊。差不多十年前了，遇到一位绅士。
And I was flying in America.
哦，那我是在美国在飞行。
And as I often have to travel in the course of my life, I fly a lot.
哦，那当然了，就是我因为我需要就是不断的到处旅行，因此我就是。
So I was sitting in the airport waiting to board my next flight.
啊，那么那个时候呢，我在飞机场正在等着下一班的航班。
And unknown to me at the time, there was a gentleman sitting there also, who was watching me very closely.
那我不知道有一个绅士，那也坐在那个机场在等飞机，他一直在，就是在看我，观察我。
Because I appeared to him to be something different.
因为我这个外向看起来不同寻常。
It's a common experience I have. People look at me and I look different.
他说我一般的体会就是人们看我的眼神什么都是感觉到我好像不太一样。
Maybe you're even right now even looking at me that trying to understand who I am.
也许呢，大家也是这样的，看着我就在想这人是谁呀、啊。
So anyways, this gentleman was also unknown to me, as I said at the time. He was looking at me very attentively.
就像我说的是，那个时候我并不知道，但是呢，那位绅士他一直的就是细致的在观察着我。
And the airline reservationist at the counter called my name.
那后来呢，就是那个那个地方叫什么？我们台湾就是开始叫他的名字了，广播了。
Now the reason why she called my name is because I fly a lot in that airlines, and she was giving me an upgrade to business class.
那之所以他们叫我的名字，是因为就是他们准备让我就是晋升到那个叫商务舱。
And I stood at the counter for some time, and she explained that. We have a seat available in business class. We'd like to give you the seat.
那然后呢？我站在柜台那个地方，那个小姐就给我解释说，我们现在在商务舱里有这样的一个位置，我们想要把它就是给你，让你坐下来。
And then she invited me to get onto the plane.
然后呢，她就把我就是请到了飞机上。
So I sat down on the plane and was pretty empty at the time.
那那个时候呢，我就坐在那个地方，那个时候就是。
Within a few minutes, they invited all the other passengers in the business class section to board.
那过了几分钟以后呢，他们就把所有的就是在那个商务舱的那个客人全都请上来了。
And this gentleman, again unknown to me, happened to have the seat right next to me.
而这个我不知道的这位绅士，正好他就坐在我的。
So he put his things in the compartment above us. He sat down and just looked straight ahead. And I was minding my own business. Gradually the plane filled up and the plane took off.
然后呢，慢慢，客人都上来了，接着就是。
And then, right after takeoff, the man turned to me and said, "You know, I was watching you before boarding the plane."
那等到飞机一旦起飞，旁边的这位绅士就跟他说：“你知道吗？就是 就是在起飞之前，就是在登机之前，我一直在观察你。
And I'd like to tell you something.
啊，我想要告诉你我的想法。
So I said, okay, sure.
然后就说 okay, 好。
So he said, do you know that your sweater doesn't match your clothes?
啊，他说你有没有发现你的那个就是那个外套套那个好像跟你的那个衣服不太配。
So I said, no, I didn't. Thank you very much. And then he just sat there. And after about another 5 minutes, he turned to me and said, okay. Tell me. What is this?
这是什么？这是什么？挺奇怪的。
What are you?
啊，你是谁？你是什么？
Yeah, he was very curious. He wanted to know something about me.
啊，那他就是特别的好奇，想要了解我。
And maybe he was just speaking in the beginning about my sweater because he was looking for a way to strike up a conversation.
他一开始讲我的那个外套，实际上可能也就是想，就是开始一个对话。
So at this point, he seemed very interested and began to make many inquiries about me.
嗯，那差不多到这个时候，他就好像就是特别的感兴趣，想要了解我。
Now, I'm to actually make this story accessible to you. I guess I'll have to tell you a few things about me.
啊，那当然了，我要为了让大家就能最终明白这个有关我这个故事，我可能要跟大家讲一下，就是我生活当中的有几个事情。
Because that's what I told him was about me.
啊，这个的就是我跟那个这个绅士讲的有关我自己。
But the reason why I spoke to him about myself is because all his questions were about me.
啊，那之所以我跟他讲有关我，是因为他问我的那些问题都是跟我就都是关于我的。
He wanted to know why I dress the way I dress.
他想要了解我为什么穿成这个样子。
What does it mean?
啊，那意味着什么
？Well, how long have you been doing this?
啊，你这个样子多长时间了
？How did you start this?
你是怎么开始的
？Why did you start this?
你为什么要这么样的？就是
I mean, just one question after the next, it was sort of like, I said, okay, yes. I was listening to all those questions.
他就说 OK， 行，我会认真地回答你这些问题。
So I answered them.
那他就回答了这些问题。
And it took me a long time to answer them.
那当然，回答这些问题实际上花了我很长时间。
Because every time I started answering something, he would ask another question.
因为我一旦就是开始回答这个问题的时候，他又去问我一些其他的事情。
So let me tell you what I told him.
那我就让我告诉你们，我是跟他说了些什么。
So I introduced myself.
我就是介绍我自己。
I said my name is Niranjana Swami.
他说我的名字叫 Niranjana Swami.
And I started to explain to him about the clothes that I was wearing.
然后呢，就开始解释我穿的这衣服是怎么回事。
I told him that I am a monk.
告诉他说我是个和尚。
And I have been practicing monk for at that time it was about 30 years.
那我已就是那个时候，他在讲话那个时候。他当和尚已经当了三十年了。
And he said, "Why that color?"
嗯，他说他为什么要这种颜色？
So I began to explain to him about this color.
那我就开始解释这个颜色。
Which, by the way, a lot of people usually comment on this color.
啊，那当然了，顺便说一下，很多人都是对这个颜色有一些个评论。
I remember one.It's another little short story. One time I was in a store in the United States.
啊，有一次我在一个就是美国的一个商店。
And one woman came up to me. She said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you."
有一个女士来到我面前，一直就跟我说，谢谢你，谢谢你，谢谢你。
I said, "For what?"
那我说为什么？
She said, "For wearing that color."
因为就是这样的，你穿这样的颜色。
It's so soothing.
哎呀，真的是让人觉得很舒服，心里头。
So a lot of people look at the color.
所以很多人都看这个颜色。
So he was naturally questioning, "What does the color mean?"
所以呢？这位那个 绅士了，应该是就自然的就在问这个颜色的意思是什么，为什么是这个颜色。
So I told him that generally people who wear this color in our tradition, it means that they're celibate monks.
好，那我就给他解释说，一般的情况，按照我们的传统，如果人穿上这样的颜色，那就是要贞守。
You're a celibate.
独身禁欲。
You're a celibate monk.
好，你是独身禁欲的和尚。
I said yes, I'm a celibate monk.
是，我是独身禁欲的和尚。
Why would you want to do something like that?
你为什么要做这样的事情？
So then I began to explain to him a little bit before I became a celibate monk.
所以呢，我就开始给他解释我在当这个独身禁欲的和尚之前的我的一些事情。
Actually, I started telling him about my youth.
啊，实际上我就是讲我青少年的时候。
Actually, I grew up in America.
啊，我成长在这个美国。
And I was educated.
啊，我受教育。
In the American educational system.
啊，就是按照这美国的教育系统。
And I actually always had very high grades.
那事实上，我总是得了很高的分。
And actually, when I was, I think maybe it was 14. I was 14 years old. I never had anything less than an A.
啊，他说，实际上一直到这个差不多14岁，我从来没有就是。
And I told him to be quite honest, I never studied.
而且呢，我很诚实地告诉他说，尽管得那么高的分，我从来不学习。
And he said, and then I began telling him a little bit more about my education later, about how I went on to college.
然后又跟他讲我后来就是上大学等等一些事。
And I explained that how I was a youth in America in the 1960s.
我就跟他解释，就是我在这个就是60年代，1960年那个时候，作为一个青少年是怎么样。
And to be a teenager in the United States in the 1960s was a very revolutionary time.
那个时候，1960年那个青少年，那都是对他们来说是革命性的那种时代。
Any of you who've studied history of the United States, you know that the 60s was a time of great rejection of society's values.
实际上，如果大家研究一下美国的历史，就会发现那个时候是好像对于那个就是社会是一种反叛。
It was known as the hippie generation.
就叫嬉皮士，把它说出来。
And actually, after I had gone to the university, I ended up also becoming a hippie.
好，实际上，当我后来就是去了这个大学上学以后。我最后也成了一个嬉皮士。
I started to reject a lot of the values because a lot of my friends were going to war and fighting in Vietnam.
我之所以也是反对当时的那种社会价值，是因为我有很多的朋友最后就参加那个越南战争啊什么的。
And the 60s was big protests of the Vietnam War amongst the students.
所以实际上那个60年代那个越南战争在学生当中是一个很热的一个议题。
And so then I explained to him that in my later teens, around 18, 19, I began questioning my purpose of life.
然后我就接着就告诉他说，实际上到了差不多18、19岁的那个时候，我就开始问有关生命，我的生命，我的生。
Because even at that age, 18, 19, I had already experienced so many things.
因为实际上，尽管那时候我是18、19岁，但是我已经体验到了很多的东西。
I didn't experience poverty.
我并没有体验到什么贫穷。
I had money.
我有钱。
When I left education, my education, I had a good job.
当我就是结束了这个受教育的这个阶段以后，我也找到了工作。
I had a girlfriend with whom I was very close.
我也有很亲密的女朋友。
And I had a house on a very beautiful beach, overlooking a beach.
在那个海滩边，美丽的海滩边也有房子。
I was renting the house. I didn't own it at that.
当然我没有拥有那房，我只是在租那个房。
I was a musician.
我是个音乐家。
I experimented with drugs.
那我也就是体验了那个迷幻药啊等等。
What a hippie in the 1960s in America be without experimenting with drugs？
大家想一下，就是1960年那个时候的，有哪一个嬉皮是没有就是对那个药迷幻药什么的去体验，都去做。
So I experienced a lot even at the age of 18, 19。
所以说，尽管我那时候十八九岁，但是我已经有了很多的体验。
And I began studying different types of philosophy of my own.
而且呢，我自己就开始去研究各种各样的哲学。
And I read many different philosophy books.
而就是读了很多很多种类的哲学的书。
When I would come home from work every night, I would just consume books one after the other.
他说就是。这个当他每天下班回家以后，他就像吃书一样在看。
I was looking for some meaning in life.
我就想要寻找人生的意义究竟是什么。
And then I happened to come upon one book, Bhagavad Gita, as it is.
结果呢，在这个阅读的过程当中，我阅读到了《国家梵歌原译》这本书。
But I didn't tell that yet to this gentleman.
当然，那个时候我还没有跟他介绍这个东西。
I just was telling him a little bit about my youth.
啊，我只是跟他讲了一些我的青少年。
And I told him that I decided to become a celibate monk in 1973.
啊，那我就跟这个绅士跟他说，就是差不多是1973年的时候，我决定当一个独身禁欲的和尚。
Because I was inspired to do so by my spiritual master, because I felt that.I explained to him that it gave me the opportunity to really search within myself.
当就是我跟我的灵性导师讲了有关我自己以后，我的灵性导师激励我就是成为和尚，而他给我讲解的那些东西，我觉得对我挺合适的。
And to get to know myself better.
啊，这样的话，这么做是让我能够更好的了解我自己。
So therefore, I explained to him a little bit about.Why I chose at that time to be a celibate monk.
所以我就给他解释了为什么在那个时候我自己决定去当一个独身禁欲的和尚。
But at that time I was a brahmachari.
但那个时候刚开始的时候，我是一个真守生，因为那个出家还有不同的。
And a brahmachari is a celibate student.
就是刚才我说的 brahmachari 是梵文，意思是真守生。
Who can live for some period of time as a celibate student, but if he chooses, he can marry.
真守生意思就是说他是一个独身禁欲，但是是学生的阶段。然后度过了一段这样的时间以后，他可以做出决定是结婚还是不结婚。
And I told him there are many people in our priesthood who are married.
那就我也告诉他说，其实我们有些人在那个时候就结婚了。
And they wear clothes like this, but they wear white clothes.
那他们呢？结了婚以后，他们就穿的是白色的这样的衣服。
But I chose at a certain stage of my life.
但是呢，我呢，就是在我人生当中的某个阶段，我做出了选择。
To take a vow never to marry.
那做出选择就是发誓，永远都不结婚。
And at that time, I accepted this vow, of called sannyas.
那个时候我就。接受就是我发了这个誓要当 sannyas， 就是 sannyas 也是梵文的意思，是出家人，是不回头了，不会再结婚的那种出家人。
Which is a renounced order of life.
那这个就是弃绝阶层的弃绝的生活。
And I told him why I chose to take this vow.
而且我就告诉他我为什么会选择发这样的誓言。
I explained that by taking this vow, it enabled me to travel.
我之所以发这样的誓言，我告诉他说，是因为这样的话，我可以更好的就是便于我旅行。
To share what I had learned in my life with others.
跟人们分享我所学到的。
And that I was not tied down to any type of work.
而这样的话，我也不会被任何的什么工作啊等等束缚。
And he said, "You don't work."
他说什么？你不工作吗
？So I said, "No, I haven't worked since I was." 20 years old.
他说，然后王二就跟他说，对，差不多是从20岁以后，我就没有再到外面去找工作去了。
Well, how do you travel?
他说，那你怎么旅行啊？
Well, I told him, well, I travel. People give donations, and they invite me various places, and this is how I travel.
那他就跟他说，我是之所以能够旅行，是不同的人就邀请我到他们的地方，然后就付这些。 旅行的费用，这样我就可以旅行了。
He said you must travel a lot.
他说那你肯定就是旅行了很多。
I say how do you know that?
那他就问那马二，就问那你怎么知道。
He said I saw you got, how you got upgraded to business class.
他说因为我看到你怎么最后被提升到那个商务舱里。
So I said yes, I travel a lot.
是的，我旅行很多。
He said where do you live?
啊，那
Where do you live?
那你住在哪儿啊？
So I said, well, I have no home.
那他就跟那个绅士说，我没有家。
You have no home?
你没家。
How do you live without a home?
那没家怎么住呢？
I said, it's very easy.
他说这很容易啊。
Wherever I go is my home.
我去哪儿，哪儿就是我的家。
The world is my home.
整个世界到处都是我的家。
And, He said, but don't you have any possessions?
那你难道没有什么一些财产呢？
I said, yeah, they're under the, in the belly of the plane right now.
那我的财产就在那个这椅子底下。
I said, oh, they're all there in the suitcase.
都在那个箱子里面。
You live out of suitcase?
他说你这就是一个旅行箱，然后就这么活着了。
And I said, yes, everything I have is in my suitcase.
对啊，我有的一切都在我的旅行箱里。
And he was completely mystified.
那就完全就是不明白怎么回事。
They couldn't understand.
他不明白。
Why would somebody do something like this?
为什么有人做事做成这个样子？
So he asked many more questions.
然后他就问了更多的问题。
And this went on for about, I'd say about 2 hours.
差不多就是这么来来回回的问题回答2小时。
So I'm not going to speak for 2 hours.
那当然我不能跟大家讲2个小时。
It was a 4-hour flight.
当然那个是4个小时的旅程。
So, after he asked all these questions,
那他问了这些问题以后，
then at one point the conversation changed.
那到了某一个点的时候，整个对话内容变了。
And then he said, "Let me tell you something about myself."
然后呢，这位绅士就跟马二就说，让我来告诉你有关我自己的一些事情。
So I said, sure, please, tell me.
马拉尔说好，可以啊。
He said, do you know, I'm a very wealthy man.
他说你知道吗，我是很有钱的人。
I have everything.
我什么都有。
You know, I fly this flight, this 3-4 times a week in business class.
你知道我就是航行这条线，一个星期3-4次。
My work is in America.
我的工作在美国。
I'm a consultant for many different companies.
我就是为很多的公司就做咨询。
And he began explaining to me about how much wealth he has.
然后他就开始给马拉尔解释他有多富有。
He said, I have a beautiful mansion. Mansion? Big home.
Oh, yeah. 他说我有特别漂亮的高楼大厦。
I have a yacht.
我也有那个花园。
I have an airplane.
我自己还有飞机。
Sometimes I just use it in Canada. I don't use it for international flights.
有的时候就说如果不是国际的旅行，我就自己开飞机。
He says I have so many things.
他说我拥有那么多的东西。
I have millions of dollars.
我有亿万的资产。
And he then started telling me about his family.
然后就开始又讲他的家。
He said I have a wife.
他说我有妻子。
I have 2 children.
有两个孩子。
I have a difficult time with my wife.
我呢，跟我妻子相处的挺困难。
I don't know why I married her.
我也不知道我为什么要娶她。
But somehow I married her.
但是不知怎的，反正我娶了她了。
And I have 2 children with her.
呢，我跟她生了两个孩子。
One of my children is handicapped.
Handicapped is 坐轮椅的。
He was autistic. He couldn't.He had a disability, learning disability.
Okay. 就是有一些自闭症，就是他那个学习有问题，有孩子。
And then he began telling me about his children.
然后又开始讲他的孩子。
And how much suffering he has from his children.
那也就谈到了就是跟孩子的这样的一个关系，他是多就是很痛苦的状态。
He started telling me about his friends. He says, you know, I have a lot of friends. But they're not really my friends. I can't share anything with them. Because everybody just thinks about my money. And actually a very lonely person. And the whole time this man is talking to me, he's the flight attendant is coming by and says, can you bring me another glass of wine? The flight attendant. He's drinking wine to drown his sorrows. He didn't drink a lot. But he began telling me many details about his family. He said how he had married a woman who happened to be from Pakistan.
Then
he was a Canadian and he didn't know anything about Pakistan culture when he got married. And then he started telling me about all the troubles he had with his wife's parents. And he was pouring his heart out to me. And then one point in the conversation, he was sitting in the aisle seat, I was in the window seat. He stopped looking at me. He stopped looking at
me.
And he started looking out the window of the plane. And he had a very serious look on his face. And he just stopped talking. And I looked at him and I was trying to figure out what's wrong. Did I say something? I didn't say anything. I was just listening to him. And then all of a sudden his face started to become angry. And I actually started to get scared. I thought he was going to punch me. Very angry. And this went on for a few minutes, and all I could do was look at him. And then, all of a sudden, he clapped his hands like this. He said, that's it. And he started to get excited. I was relieved. And I said, what is it? And then he said it about five times. He said, that's it. I said, what is it? He said, I didn't know why I was telling you all these things. I never said these things to anybody. I never said these things to my family. I never said any of these things about my friends to my friends. You're a complete stranger. I just told you the most confidential things about my life that I never told anybody. And then he said, so I said, so what's it? That, you said, that's it.
他就马上接着问他，那你说的就这样，那就这样是什么呀？
He said, I was angry because I didn't know why I was telling you these things.
他说，因为我刚才很生气，我不知道我为什么要告诉你这些事情。
I thought maybe you did something to me that forced me to say these things.
他说，我当时想的就是你是不是给我做了些什么了，然后就是让我就不知不觉的就跟你讲这些话。
I said, no.
王二说我没。
So I said, now I know why I told you this.
他现在我知道我为什么告诉你这些。
I said, why?
那王二说为什么？
He looked me right in the face.
那这个时候他直视着我的脸。
And he said, because you're happy.
他说因为你那么快乐。
I said, really?
我说真的。
He said, you don't have a wife.
你看你没妻子。
You don't have a family.
你没家人。
You don't have a job.
你也没工作。
You don't have a home.
你没家。
You don't have a bank account.
你也没有这个存款。
And you weren't even disturbed when I told you your sweater doesn't match your clothes.
而且呢，当我跟你说你那个外套跟你穿的这个衣服根本就不相称的时候，你一点也没有什么生气啊的这种受打扰的感觉。
You're happy.
你很快乐，你快乐。
That's why I told you these.
这就是为什么我把所有这些都跟你说了。
And then he said, "Look, I'm a businessman."
他接着说，你看，我是个生意人。
I know when I see a good investment.
啊，我知道就是怎么个投资是好。
Tell me.
你告诉我。
How did you get that way?
你怎么就变得这个样子？
That was his next question.
这是他下一个问题。
How did you get that way?
你怎么就变成这样？
So I then began telling him about my spiritual master.
然后我就开始跟他讲我的灵性导师。
And I told him all of how I met my spiritual master in 1972, first by reading Bhagavad Gita.
那我就开始跟他讲，我这个怎么样是在1972年的阅读到了这个国家梵歌以后，然后遇上了我的灵性导师。
And then I met him later.
我先是读了国家梵歌，后来我碰到了。
Spent some time in India.
然后在印度待了一段时间。
Hearing his lectures.
聆听他的这个开始讲课。
I saw him in New York.
我就在美国又见到他。
I saw him in Philadelphia.
我在 Philadelphia, 是的。
Another city in America.
是吗？费城。对不起，他不知道这个。
And I began telling him about my spiritual master.
然后我就开始跟他讲有关我的灵性导师。
As I told you a little bit when I began speaking in the beginning about my spiritual master.
那也就是我刚才在刚开始的时候跟您谈了一点点有关我的灵性导师。
And I said that my spiritual master was a person who could give, 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 and never want anything for himself in return.
我就跟他说，我的灵性导师他是那种人，他可以一直不断的给予，给予，给予，但是从来不要求任何回报。
And I personally witnessed this.
而我自己亲眼就是见证了这一切。
He was always satisfied in any condition of life.
他无论在生活就是处在什么样的一个状态下，他永远都是非常满足。
He would never make any demands for himself.
他从来不是为了他自己去要求什么。
Although sometimes he would be strong.
尽管有的时候他讲话非常的强硬。
Just like a parent sometimes needs to be strong with a child.
就像就是父母有的时候对孩子有的时候态度要比较硬一些。
But a parent is strong with a child because of love, affection.
但是呢。孩子对，这个父母对孩子讲话，有即使是采用比较强硬的态度，他也是出于对孩子的爱才这么做的。
They're thinking of the welfare of the child.
他主要是为了让孩子好。
And I began to explain to him how I experienced that everything that he did was always thinking of my welfare and the welfare of those who were dependent on him.
然后我就给他解释说。就是给他解释了我的灵性导师他所做的一切都是为了我好以及为了那些个依靠他的人好
and how he was very satisfied simply to have the opportunity to share what he experienced in his life with others
而且呢给他解释说我的灵性导师是怎么样的就是每当他跟别人就是分享他的生活当中所经验到的一切的时候他是多么的感到满足。
And then he began asking questions. Well, how does he get this satisfaction?
那然后那个生意人就又继续问，那他怎么得到的这样一种那种真正的满足呢
？It was indirectly he was also asking me how did I become happy?
实际上他也是在间接的问我怎么变得快乐。
But I had the opportunity to tell him how I became happy by explaining to him how my spiritual master was happy.
嗯，那当然了，我呢就是通过告诉他我的灵性导师的那种快乐，然后来解释我怎么样变得快乐。
And he was happy because he got his satisfaction from within.
他，我的灵性导师之所以快乐，他是从内在找到了真正的满足。
He wasn't dependent upon what he would get from others for his own satisfaction.
他从来不依靠什么从其他人那儿得到什么的那种所谓的满足感。
Whether he was living in poverty or whether he was living in wealth, whether he was healthy or not healthy.
就我的领导是不管他是在贫穷的一个状态下还是在一个富有的状态下生活，他永远都是自足的满足的。
He was always fully dependent upon the will of the Supreme.
嗯，他始终都是依靠至尊的那种意愿在生活。
And he saw everything in his life connected to the will of the Supreme.
而他看到所有他生命当中的一切都是跟至尊存在者有着一种连接。
And therefore he could live in any condition of life and be peaceful.
正因为如此，无论生活当中的情况是什么样子的，他永远都可以非常平静的生活。
And I explained to him how my spiritual master first came to America in 1965.
我就给他解释我的灵性导师在1975年的时候。1965，我的灵性导师在1965年的时候第一次到美国的时候的情况。
He had 40 rupees.
那个时候他口袋里只有40
at that time
ruby， 就是印度的那个钱。
Just a few dollars.
那个时候还比较值钱了，是几个美金。
He got free passage on a freighter across the Atlantic Ocean.
那他是在这个得到了一个就是免费的一个票，然后坐那个货轮。
He also had no place to live.
他也是没有家。
He didn't know anybody.
而就是在那个美国呢，也不知道要住在哪儿，也不认识任何一个人。
Nobody was there to receive him when he arrived in America.
甚至当他到了美国的时候，没有人在那个地方接他。
All he had was a small box of books.
他唯一当时有的就是一小箱书。
And he had an instruction from his spiritual master.
而他之所以这样做，他是得到了他的灵性导师的训示。
To bring Krishna consciousness to the Western world.
因为他的灵性导师给他的训示是把 Krishna 意识带给世人。
And when he first
西方人
，when he first arrived in America, he had to live very austere life.
他刚到美国的时候，他的生活是非常艰苦的。
Even on the freighter. From India to America, he suffered 2 heart attacks.
甚至在那个从印度去美国的这个货轮上，他已经经历了2次那个心脏病突发。
And he didn't know how if he would survive or not.
他甚至不知道他那时候他还能不能活下去。
And the only thing he had.
他唯一有的是。
Were these books?
就是他的书。
And the order of his spiritual master,
以及他的灵性导师给他的那个训示
and a desire to teach others what he had learned from his spiritual master.
而他的愿望是什么呢？就是想要跟其他人分享他从他的灵性导师那里学到的是什么内容。
And when he first arrived in America,
当他第一次刚到他，当他刚到美国的时候
，he had to live in very difficult conditions.
他的那个生活状态是非常艰巨的。
He was a 70-year-old man.
那个时候他是70岁的一个老人了。
And the only place that he was initially able to stay in was with a group of hippies.
而他第一个住所是跟一群嬉皮士住在一起。
In a loft in New York City.
在美国的那种房子，就大家是一个很大的，像工厂一层一层的住在那里。
He had never seen snow before.
在这之前，他从来没见过下雪什么样子。
And he had to go through the first time he arrived there in a bitter winter cold with clothes like this.
而在他刚去美国的时候，然后就很短的时间里，他就要经历那个美国的冬天。而他有的衣服也就是像现在他穿的这样的
walking the streets in a very difficult situation
在用很艰苦的一个困难的一个状态下就是在街上
with no money
没钱
and but he gradually began introducing people to this philosophy of Krishna consciousness and to the chanting of Hare Krishna.
然后呢，他呢却能够逐渐的，就是跟大家分享、介绍，通过这种吟诵、吟唱 Hare Krishna 这个 mantra 怎么样能够变得快。
And although I didn't meet him at that time,
尽管那个时候我还没有遇见他。
I met him some years later.
我是几年以后遇到他的。
I certainly learned about all the austerities and difficulties he had to undergo to bring this philosophy to the West.
我确实是体验到了，就是他要把这个整个这个知识介绍给那个西方人，他所经历的那些个艰难困苦都是些什么。
And I saw also just how many difficulties he had to undergo to travel at that advanced age.
而且呢，我也看到在他那么高龄的那么状态下，他要去飞行旅行是多么的对他来说是很困难的事。
And especially learned how tolerant he was.
而且我从他身上学到了他是多么的忍受。
He could tolerate any condition of life.
他可以忍受生命当中出现的任何一个状况。
He would have to tolerate even sometimes the abuses of people.
有的时候甚至人们对他就是那种不敬攻击他都会忍受。
Who could not understand why he was giving so much to them and people were always suspicious, why are you giving?
那因为人们为什么去会侮辱他，是因为那些人不明白为什么这样一个人他可以一直不断的是给予人们那么多。
In fact, there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
事实上呢，在圣典薄伽瓦坛里就有关这点有一节诗。
This verse describes the characteristic of a Vaishnava.
这节诗里就在描述像这样的一种圣人叫做 Vaishnava 梵，他们的那种特征品质。
Saraspita vipralabdha kshatta kshitta hata hapi nasyata patikurvanti tadbhakta gavayobihi.It says that a devotee of Krishna is so forbearing.
那就是讲说这个Krishna 的信奉者是这么样的仁慈。
That even if he is cheated,
尽管他被骗
，cursed,
被诅咒
，insulted,
就是被侮辱
，neglected,
被忽视
，disturbed,
去不断的受到打扰
，or even killed,
甚至被杀死。
He's never inclined to avenge himself.
他永远都不会就是要自己要去怎么样做。
This is a characteristic of a Vaishnava.
这个呢是一个 Vaishnava 的品质。
Most people, if somebody insults them.
绝大多数人当有人侮辱他。
Somebody cheats them.
有人欺骗他。
You get so disturbed.
你会觉得特别的生气。
You want to do something.
就想要做什么事情去报复。
You know, to get back revenge.
去报复。
Or even if you can't find a way to revenge, your mind gets so disturbed that you are cheated.
那甚至有的时候你没有办法去报复的时候，你内心是那么的就是混乱。Last sentence, suddenly forgot. Your mind is so disturbed.
Because you were cheated.
那就是，即使没办法去报复，你因为被骗了，你心中也是一直的特别的愤怒、难过。
But my spiritual master is a Vaishnava.
但是我的灵性导师是一位 Vaishnava.
Which means the one who's always dependent upon the Supreme.
Vaishnava 的意思就是说，始终信奉至尊者神的人。
He would never become angry.
他从来都不会生气。
He would never become angry because he didn't get what he wanted.
他永远都不会什么为了他得不到，因为得不到什么，然后就生气。
Although sometimes he became angry.
尽管有的时候他生气。
But for our benefit.
但是实际上他的那个生气是为了利益我们，他才生气。
Just like sometimes a parent might get angry to the child.
就像有的时候父母可能会对孩子生气表现出生气一样。
The child won't listen.
因为那个孩子不听话。
And if you're always nice to the child, then the child will think you're not serious.
那如果我们总是就是那么娇纵孩子，总是对他态度特别好的话，那个孩子就会更不听话。
So sometimes the parent shows angry, so the child will get serious.
所以有的时候父母就会就是表现出一种愤怒的样子，让孩子能够就是。
But he never showed anger.
但是他从来没有。
He is Anger is something which controls us.
啊，因但是他却从来没有就是是一种真正的那种愤怒。为什么呢？因为愤怒它是控制我们。
And Bhagavad Gita explains.
那薄伽梵歌就解释。
When one contemplates the objects of his senses.
当一个人始终把自己的注意力专注在感官的对象上的时候，
then one becomes attached.
那么就开始变得依恋那个感官对象。
And when attachment grows deeper.
而当这样的一种依恋执着变得更深入的时候，
and somebody frustrates that attachment.
那如果有人就是阻碍了你的这样的一种依恋或者是 执着的话，
we become angry.
我们就会变得生气了。
We become controlled by it.
我们接下来就被愤怒所控制。
Uncontrollable anger.
而且呢就会有那种控制不了的愤怒就生发了。
Say things that we regret later. Why did I say it?
然后我们就去说一些我们事后会后悔我为什么当初说了那些话的那种话。
We do things that we later regret that we did.
完了我们去做一些我们事后会后悔的事情。
And Bhagavad Gita says that after this angerbecomes bewilderment.
啊，那么国家梵歌里就说了，这个愤怒，人一旦这样愤怒以后，他就变得迷惑。
Because you vent your anger, then you're bewildered. You know, what did I do?
啊，你就是被愤怒所控制以后，你就开始困惑，不知道我到底该做什么。
Then intelligence is lost.
那这个时候，我们的智力，我们的智性就失去了。
And one falls into the material whirlpool.
啊，结果呢？人就会重新陷入这个物质的泥潭。
This is the result of attachment, which arises from lust.
啊，而所有的这一切就是来源于那个产自贪图物质享乐的那种依恋和执着。
So our general experience of anger is.That it's not easy to control.
那我们一般的就是对于这个愤怒的这种体验是，那个愤怒是很不容易控制的。
It controls us.
那个愤怒是在控制着我们。
In the same way as a person who is looking at the objects of the senses becomes so attracted, they become controlled by it.
那同样的道理，当一个人，比方说，当他比方去注视那个感官对象。眼睛能够看到的那个对象的时候，他就最后被那个东西所控制住。
I remember as I told you before, I was working before I came to Krishna consciousness.
啊，我就跟大家讲，我在就是开始正式的，就是培养 Krishna 意识之前，我是有工作。
I used to build houses.
啊，我是建筑。
When I was about 20 years old.
在二十岁左右的时候。
And I worked with a lot of people in construction who would build houses.
那我们就跟很多很多一起盖房子的人都一起工作。
And there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那有在这个圣典薄伽梵里有一节诗。
Which describes the characteristics of a person.
那就描述。一种人的一种品性特质。
Who has accepted Krishna within the core of their heart?
那描述的是什么呢？是把那个 Krishna 把神就是在内心深处去接受 Krishna 神的那样的人，他所具有。
They're described as Paramahamsas.
啊，那么描述的叫做Paramahamsa 这个梵文翻译中文就叫至尊天鹅。
They're very swan-like men.
哎，他们就像天鹅一样的人。
And the verse says that Paramahamsas who have accepted Krishna within the core of their heart.
啊，那么这节诗描述说，像天鹅一样的人会把至尊神 Krishna 在内心当中接受。
They are very attached to talking about the subjects related to Krishna.
他们非常的依恋去谈论跟神 Krishna 有关系的那些个主题。
In the same way that materialistic persons.
但是，这个物质主义者呢
，are very much attached to talking about women and sex.
却很喜欢谈女人啦、性啦等等这些东西。
Now this analogy is given.
啊，那这个呢，就是一种分析给你。
Because whatever is within our heart, whatever we're contemplating about.
啊，那。我们内心深处一天到晚在想什么
？Then to draw that out of our heart, it doesn't take something. It's not very difficult to do.
啊，如果我们内心一直不断的老去想什么的话，最后去做那件事就很容易了，不困难。
Because we're always thinking about it.
因为我们一直不断的想那件事情。
Nobody has to train a person to speak about women and sex.
如果谈性啊，谈女人，谈什么这些东西，你不需要去训练他怎么谈。
They don't have to go to school and take a course how to think about these things.
啊，他们不需要到学校里上课，上一系列课，然后怎么样去想，然后去谈论这样的题目。
It's spontaneous.
这是自然而然发生的事情。
So as I said, when I was working with people who are building houses,
就像我刚才说的，当我那时候跟那些个盖房的人一起在工作的时候，
I remember very distinctly.
啊，我就是很清楚的记得。
That any time the object of his senses would walk by.
啊，每一次就是最后谈的话就会，恢复到那个。
Immediately, spontaneous.
啊，马上就会自然然的就会到那样的主题上。
They would immediately be, did you see that?
啊，然后就说啊，你看到那个了吗？
And everybody else would be like, wow, look at that.
啊，然后那个所有的人就哇，好好看。
Spontaneous, it just comes. As soon as they see something, the object of the senses immediately brings forth all the thoughts that are there in the mind and the heart.
也就是一个人一旦看到那个眼睛看的那个对象的话，马上所有的思绪啊什么就跟着就去了。
They start talking about it.
然后就开始谈论。
And it's uncontrollable.
而且是根本无法控制。
It comes spontaneously.
是很自然而然就这么做了。
But it's very difficult to satisfy.
但是呢，却是很难有一种满足的感觉。
It burns like it's like a raging fire.
那这个就像燃起火一样。
And the more we try to gratify these spontaneous desires,
我们越是想要把这种就是油然而生的这种欲望想要去满足它的话，
then it's like trying to put out a fire by pouring gasoline on it.
那这就像什么呢？就像是往那个火上泼汽油一样。
When you pour gasoline on the fire will go down for a moment.
当我们往这个火熊熊的大火上泼汽油的时候，那个火看上去好像有一点点，就是那个是火势就小了。
But then,
但是接下来下一秒就燃烧的更加的厉害。
There's no real satisfaction.
实际上这样没有真正的满足感。
It's called insatiable. Insatiable means it can never be fully satisfied.
那这就是经典描述说，这样的一种不断的追逐感官享乐，实际上是永远都没有办法让我们满足的，就欲壑难填嘛。
And a person who is driven by such insatiable desires,
当那个人就是被这种没有办法满足的欲望就是驱使的时候，
they can never be satisfied.
他们永远都不会真正的感到满足。
You give them so much.
你给他那么多。
And then you start wondering, you know, I'm giving and giving, but they're not satisfied. They always want more.
就是你会发现你给一个人很多很多，然后最后你会发现怎么他给了这么多，他怎么永远都不满足的。
It starts affecting relationships with people.
甚至呢还却影响了就是人和人之间的关系。
I've seen so many people sometimes in their relationships and wedded life.
我有时候看到就是人在他们生命当中的啊，就是那种人际关系。
When at some point in their marriage, somebody says, "I give and give and give."
然后呢，有的人就会就谈他的婚姻生活的话，其中一个就是说我一直不断的给予给予给予。
But all I get back is grief.
但是呢，我就是所得到的就是一种不满意。
They're never satisfied as much as I try to please them.
不管我怎么样的试图去取悦他们，但是他们就是不满意。
So a person who's driven by this insatiable desires.
所以呢，如果一个人始终的被这种无法满足的欲望所驱使的话，
who doesn't know how to find satisfaction from within.
他们就不知道该怎么样从内在去寻找那个。
Then they begin to see everyone as an object of their satisfaction.
然后呢，这样的人就会开始看他身边周围的每一个人都是他能够怎么样得到然后获得满足的那种对象。
How can I get satisfaction from this person?
他就会想说，我从他身上怎么能够得到什么让我感到满足？
And if at some point I'm not getting sufficient satisfaction,
然后到了某一个程度的时候，如果我在这个人身上再得不到那种足够的满足的时候，
Then look for somebody else.
那我就找另外一个人。
Of course, it may sometimes happen that you go through many relationships.
然后你就在看到，有的时候一个人是一段关系又一段关系，就是很多次。
And then we always think it's because of the other person.
啊，然后呢，我们总就认为是因为他怎么怎么样的。
But we never stop to look within ourselves.
但是我们从来都不停下来。开始内省自己，往内在看自己。
What do I need to be satisfied?
就是好好的问一下，说我要想得到真正的满足，我究竟需要什么
？This is what I experienced.
这个是我的体验。
My in the association of my spiritual master.
我跟我的灵性导师交往的话。
That he didn't need anything from me.
他什么都不从我这儿，他什么都不需要。
He didn't want anything from me.
他从来都不想要我给他什么。
He was satisfied.
但他却是心满意足。
He was getting it from someplace else. He was getting his satisfaction from someplace else.
好，我发现他是从什么其他的什么地方来得到那种满足。
And therefore, he didn't need it from me.
正因为如此，他根本不需要从我这儿得到满足。
Somebody may say, "Well, if somebody's satisfied, then why does he bother even giving it?"
啊，那有的人可能就说了，如果一个人他已经那么满足了，他为什么要再去自找麻烦，去把什么东西给人家呢
？Why doesn't just be satisfied?
他为什么不就保持这样的一种满足状态就好了吗
？Isn't that the goal of life?
这不就是人生的目的吗
？Just be satisfied.
就是满足就好了。
Just.
Sit
and do nothing and just be satisfied.
就坐在那个地方，什么都不要做了，就保持那种满足的状态就好了。
But actually, he had a higher goal in life.
但是实际上，生命当中有着更高的目标。
Than just being satisfied.
啊，比这个更高的目标是高于只是满足自己是满足的状态。
What was that higher goal in life?
那么。生命人生当中的更高的目标是什么呢
？He couldn't tolerate seeing others suffering because they didn't know how to be satisfied.
啊，这样的人他是没有办法忍受看到其他的人不知道自己该怎么样达到满足的状态而受苦，他没法忍受别人这样的苦。
That was his higher goal.
这个是人生当中更高的目标。
He didn't live to be satisfied.
他不是活着，只是为了满足就好。
He was willing to suffer.
他 ，continue something.
He was willing to suffer to help others become satisfied.
他为了让别人帮助别人达到一种满足的状态，他愿意牺牲自己。
Therefore, he had a higher goal in life than just to be satisfied.
正因为如此，他。这个生命当中有比那种保持一种满足状态更高的目标。
This is my spiritual master.
这就是我的灵性导师。
This is what attracted me to him.
这个也就是为什么他我那么受他的吸引。
Because he had a secret.
因为他有一个秘密。
It's a secret that other people want to have.
而他的那个秘密是其他的人都想要拥有的。
In the same way that this man sitting next to me in the plane.
而同样呢，这个坐在飞机上坐在我旁边的这个人。
After pouring his heart out to me.
他把他的心完全向我敞开，向我倾诉。
Finally, he realized.
最后他意识到。
Why he was saying that.
为什么他会跟我说所有这一切
？Because I had a secret.
因为我有这个秘密。
And he wanted to know what was that secret.
他想知道我那个秘密是什么。
Tell me, he said.
他问我说，告诉我。
How did you get like that?
你怎么样成为现在这个样子
？Now I made it clear to him.
啊，那我呢，就是开始跟他很清楚的讲。
Because, he was a little bit concerned. When he said, "You don't have a wife, you don't have a home, you don't have a family, you don't have a bank account, and you're happy."
对，因为他。当时在问我的是说你没有家没有妻子没有房子没有什么那个银行存款等等这些但是你却是那么的快乐他在思考
After he realized all that
当他认识到所有这一切的时候
He became a little nervous
他有点感到紧张了
You mean I gotta give up my wife?
你的意思是什么我要把我妻子放弃吗
My wealth?
啊，我的这个金钱呢
？My family.
我的家。
My home.
我的家人。
To be happy.
啊，难道你的意思就是说，我要想变得快乐，我必须把所有这一切全都放掉吗
？I become a celibate monk.
啊，让我变成一个独身禁欲的和尚吗
？This is really too far out.
这个对我来说太过分了。
So I said no.
然后我就跟他说不是这样的
and explain to him what renunciation means
我就开始跟他解释弃绝的意思是什么
renunciation doesn't mean that we simply give them up
弃绝并不是就是指我们把它都放掉
this is called false renunciation
这样的一种弃绝经典里描述说是一种假弃绝
In Sanskrit, it's called Pagu Vairagya.
这个梵文叫做 Pagu Vairagya.
Pagu Vairagya means false renunciation.
Pagu Vairagya 这梵文的意思是假的弃绝。
Just like my spiritual master used to give the example.
就像我的灵隐导师经常他会举这个例子。
In India, there's a river called the Pagu River.
在这个印度有个 Pagu 的河。
But it doesn't flow on the surface.
但是呢，它
It flows beneath the surface.
它是那个地下的一条河。
You can't see it.
你看不见。
He says, but if you stick your hand deep into the sand,
但是呢，如果你把你的手插到那个沙子的深处，
you'll feel it flows.
你感受到那个流动。
So similarly, there are many renunciants.
同样有很多的器具
They're called Pagu Vairagis
它叫 Pagu Vairagi 假器具
Pagu Vairagi is somebody who externally says no I renounce
那这个 Pagu Vairagi 假器具的意思就是有一些人表面上说啊，我放弃一切
I'm detached
我一点都不依恋不执着
I give up this I give this that
我把这个放掉我把那个放掉
He says the Pagu Vairagi is someone who is externally renounced.
那这种人他是表面上是弃绝。
He said, but if you put your hand in their heart,
但是如果你把你的手放到他们的内心的话
you see, there are so many desires flowing.
你就会感受到有那么多的物质欲望在流动。
Just like the Pagu River.
就像那个地下河，那个名叫 Pagu 河的。
On the surface, it looks like nothing's there.
在那个表面上的时候，你好像什么。
But if you put your hand, you'll see so much water is flowing below.
但是呢，你把那个手放到那个沙子里头深处的时候，哇，你就感受到那个流动，水的流动。
So our spiritual master explained this point.
所以我们的灵导师就解释这一点说。
That to be renounced doesn't mean that we simply give it up.
也就是说，弃绝并不是说我们要放弃掉我们现在有的一切。
Many people give up.
很多人表面上是放掉。
And later go back and take, accept the same thing that you renounce.
然后呢，过一段时间他又反转回来，把他曾经放掉的东西又再拿回来。
Because it's very difficult to become satisfied just by giving up.
因为实际上，仅仅靠放弃什么。并不能让自己变得满足。
It doesn't satisfy the self.
这个不能让真正的自我感到满足。
The self needs more satisfaction than to simply give up.
这个真正的自我，它实际上比仅仅的放弃什么有更多的内容。
Just like again we explained about our spiritual master.
就像我又再说，我们解释了我们的灵导师。
My spiritual master, he left his family.
我们的灵导师后来离开他的家，出家了。
At a certain age, his children were grown up. He took the renounced order of life.
就是我们的灵导师在他的孩子都已经长大了的那个时候，他就 OK 离家了，出家了。
Left his business.
把他的那个生意啊，什么这些全都。
Left his homeland.
把他的甚至离开了他的祖国。
He gave everything up.
他放弃了一切。
But he wasn't satisfied just to give everything up.
但是他并不是说因为放弃了所有的一切而感到满足。
That wasn't his satisfaction.
这个不是他的满足。
His satisfaction was using whatever he had.
那种满足是什么呢？就是利用你所拥有的一切。
For the higher purpose in life.
利用你所拥有的一切来达到人生当中的更高的目标。
This is real renunciation.
这是真正的弃绝。
Not simply to use it to satisfy myself.
并不是用那些东西只是为了满足自己。
Not simply to use it to satisfy my family and friends.
也不是仅仅拥有用那个有的一切只是满足自己的家人和朋友。
But to utilize it, everything that I do have, for the service of the Supreme.
而是用我所有的一切为神做服务。
This is renunciation.
这个是真正的弃绝。
Our spiritual master used to give an example.
啊，我的领导是曾经就是举例子。
He used to say that if you take the number one,
他说经常说，如果你用一哈
，and if you had many zeros to that one, zeros, add many zeros to that one.
那你把很多的在这个一。然后后面加上很多的零
，then each zero becomes significant.
那么这个每一个零就变得有意义。
Because it's connected to one.
因为这些零都跟那个一有关系。
If you have one zero, it's ten.
那么如果你有一个零的话
，two zeros
就是十，两个零跟这一
，it's a hundred
就是一百。
Three zeros, thousand.
三个零跟这个一。放在一起就是
the more zeros you have, the more significant your number becomes.
所以你的零越多，那么你的这个数字越大。
Because it's connected to one.
因为都跟那个一是有关系的。
But without one.
但是没有那个一。
No matter how many zeros you have.
不管你有多少个零。
They're all zero.
他们就是。
You can have a million zeros.
你可以有千百万个零。
Add them all up.
啊，把他们这些零都加到一起。
Zero.
还是零。
So our spiritual master used to emphasize this point.
所以我们的领导经常强调这一点。
Renunciation doesn't mean giving up.
弃绝并不是说是放掉你有的东西。
It means adding one.
而是要把自己的生活当中、生命当中加上去那一个一。
We have to learn what is the one that we put in front of everything else.
那么我们要学习的就是我们把这个。那个一要加的那个一是什么
？How do we connect what we have in our life？
啊，我们怎么样把这个一跟我们的生命能够连接起来
？So we can use it for the most meaningful way。
那么我们就可以把我们生活当中所拥有的一切更加有意义的来利用。
So that we can genuinely satisfy others。
这样的话，我们就可以去满足大家了。
And then ourselves become satisfied。
因为这么做，我们真正的自我变得满足。
Adding this one is the basis of spiritual life.
也就是说，在生命当中加上这个一，是我们灵性生活的起点。
And it means automatically renunciation is awakened within the heart.
啊，那么这样的话呢，这个弃绝自然而然的在我们的心中就唤醒了。
Because instead of everything.I do for me. I'm the one.
因为呢，与这种就是说我做所有的一切都是为了我自己做的，我是那个一相比。
We learn who the real one is.
我们是学习那个真正的一是谁。
I'll give you a silly example.
我给你一个看上去就听上去很荒唐的。
It comes to my mind.
那个例子，这个是。进入我的脑海当中。
But I told you that before I came to Krishna consciousness.
我跟大家讲过，在我就是开始培养 Krishna 意识之前。
I was living with a girl that I was very close with.
我呢跟我的那个女朋友住在一起。
And I learned about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness.
那后来呢，我就学习了有关培养 Krishna 意识的这些哲学。
And I was trying to.Introduce her to it.
然后我就想把我学到的东西跟她介绍。
And she wasn't so much inclined.
那我这个女朋友不太感兴趣。
She couldn't understand.
她没办法理解。
So, we were not married.
那我们那时候没有结婚。
So I decided, let me go and try to learn something about this philosophy, and I.Lived in a temple for a few weeks.
那那个时候后来我就决定说，既然没有结婚嘛，那干脆我就到一个地方去好好学习这方面的哲学。然后
I lived in it. Let me learn about this lesson.
对，我就进庙去住去了。
But after living for a few weeks, I think I decided I'm going to go back and I'm going to try to convince her.
然后呢，他决定在庙里住个几个星期学习。但他在庙里住了几个星期以后，他又决定说，我干脆回去，我再跟他分享一下。
And I said, I'm going to ask. I said to myself, I'm going to ask her to marry me, and then certainly she'll come.
啊，那然后呢，我要回去，我要要求，我要请求她嫁给我，这样的话她就会来了。
So I went all the way back.
然后我就回去了。
And I came to where she was living, and I approached her.
啊，然后呢，我就到了她住的地方。
And I said to her, I decided I'm going to ask you to marry me.
然后呢，他就跟他那女朋友说，我现在决定了，我想要向你求婚。
I was 20 years old.
那个时候二十岁。
I said, certainly you'll want to learn more.
啊，他说你当然你想要学更多的东西。
And she looked at me. She said, I can't be number two.
哈，那他的女朋友看着他说，我没办法当二号人物。
I said, what do you mean? She said, I can't be number two. I have to be number one. If I marry you, I'll be number two. So I said, well, who's number one? She said, Krishna.
Krishna.
I know Krishna's number one.
我知道 Krishna 就是神的名字 ，Krishna 是一号。
So she said, "Go."
然后他女朋友就跟他说：“你走吧。”
If you want me to be number one,
如果你要让我当一号的话，我才嫁。
So then, I left.
所以我就离开了。
But I use that as an example.
那我举这个例子。
That many people think.That they have to be number one.
许多人都认为自己要成为那个一号。
They don't know that actually, their source of satisfaction.
他们实际上不知道那个真正令人满足的那个源头是什么。
Is by putting someone at the middle who can satisfy everyone.
嗯，不知道就是说把某一个那个人物。放到那个中心的时候，是可以让所有的人都满足。
Because as long as I go on living my life, that I'm number one.
如果我们一生当中追求的就是我要成为那个一号人物的话
，then it's going to affect every relationship I have in this life.
那么就会影响到我在这一生当中的跟所有人的关系。
I only have this relationship because it satisfies number one.
为什么呢？因为他的心态就是。我之所以跟你交往有这个关系，是因为你能够满足我，我是一号人物的那种感觉。
And if number one can't get satisfaction from this relationship,
啊，那那个一号如果在这样的一个关系当中感受不到满足了
，then I'm going to have to look for somebody else who recognizes me as number one.
那如果我得不到这种满足，我就得找另外一个人，让他能够满足我是一号人物的那种感觉。
So it comes down to the same point.
所以这又到了这个同样一个点。
That satisfaction comes from realizing our connection with the Supreme.
实际上，真正的满足是通过认识到那个至尊人物开始。
When we make that connection within our hearts.
啊，是跟那个至尊人物有那个连接的，用我们的心去连接。
Then from within the heart, one finds satisfaction.
这个时候，就是我们的内心才会感到满足。
Then one can genuinely love.
这个时候，当他满足，有了这样的一种关系，感到满足以后，他就可以变得爱。
Because love means giving without expecting anything in return.
为什么呢？因为爱的意思是给予而不期望回报，这才叫做爱。
That is love.
这是爱。
One gives without expecting anything in return.
爱是给予，不要求回报。
That is the actual definition of love.
这实际上是爱的真正的定义。
If I expect something in return, it's not love, it's business.
啊，如果我就是在一个关系里头，我期望我做什么，然后就会回报我的话，这个实际上根本不是爱，而是生意。
And this love is what everyone is looking for.
而实际上，我们每一个人都在追求真爱。
Everybody wants to have it.
每个人都想有这个真爱。
But they don't know the secret for finding it.
但是呢，没有人知道到底怎么能够找到他那个奥秘。
Therefore, persons like my spiritual master.
所以说呢，就像我的灵命导师这样的人。
Were so kind.
他是那么的仁慈。
Because they came to me.
因为他来到我这儿，我面前。
And gave to me.
把这个秘密给予了我。
The most valuable gift.
这个是最有价值的礼物。
The most valuable gem, jewel.
这是最有价值的这个宝石。
Greater than wealth.
比任何的什么财富。
Greater than power.
啊，这个什么权力力。
Greater than beauty.
啊，美丽。
He gave love.
强大，他给予我的是爱。
He showed me what it means to love.
他给我看爱的真正的意义是什么。
And therefore, on that basis,
因此呢，基于这个
I have come to share with you what he gave me.
我呢，来跟大家分享他给我的一切。
I have come here.
我来这儿
to tell you about him.
来，我来这儿来跟大家讲述有关他。
And this businessman.
而这个生意人。
You know what he said at the end of the conversation?
到最后就是谈话完了以后，你们知道他说什么吗？
He said, because I told him about my spiritual master, after the whole rest of the flight was telling him about my spiritual master.
因为后来就是坐飞机的后面整个那一程，我全都是在跟他讲我的灵命导师。
And therefore, just as the flight was getting ready to land,
然后就在那个飞机快要降落的时候，
he said, well, this man must have written some books.
This
man must have written some books.
那个生意人最后就说了，这个人一定写了什么书了。
So I told him about Bhagavad Gita as it is.
然后我就跟这个生意人就介绍了《薄伽梵歌原意》这本书。
And then he looked at me. He said, "I want that book."
他那个生意人就跟他说，我想要那本书。
He said, "Look." That's when he said, "Look, I'm a businessman."
他就说，你看，我是一个生意人。
And I know when I see a good investment.
我知道就是投资是怎么。
I want that book.
我想要那本书。
I didn't have one with me.
那当时我没带。
Terribly, unfortunately, I didn't carry. I didn't have one at the time.
那什么，我很不幸我没带那本书。
But I immediately told him how to get one.
但是我马上就告诉他怎么能够得到这本书。
So this is what my spiritual master came to share.
所以这个就是我的灵命导师来跟我分享，跟我们分享。
He wrote books every night.
他每一天晚上都写书。
While he traveled around the world.
带他全世界在旅行的时候。
12 times in the course of just 10 years.
他说他是十年期间环球旅行十二次。
He slept 2 hours a night.
每天晚上只睡两个小时。
He would wake up every night at midnight.
他每次都是在深更半夜的时候就起来了。
And from midnight all the way into the early hours of the morning, he would translate his books.
也就是说，每天都是从半夜开始，一直到第二天的清晨，就是翻译所有一些经典、古老的经典。
And then he would chant Hare Krishna.
然后呢，他就吟诵 Hare Krishna mantra.
He would lecture to us.
然后呢，就给我们讲课。
He would meet people.
他就会开始接见人。
He would lecture in the evening.
然后呢，到晚上又给讲课。
He would take rest at 10 o'clock at night.
然后十点钟的时候上床睡觉。
And no matter where he was,
不管他在身在何处
he would wake up at midnight.
就是半夜就起来。
He didn't even know when he was changing time zones.
他甚至根本就不知道他的就是旅行的地方都有时差什么。
Wherever he went, he was immediately in that time zone.
他无论到哪个地方，马上就是那个地方的那个时间就是在那个时间。
He came to give.
他来，他是给予
his love.
给予他的爱。
And to share it with others.
而且呢，跟其他人分享。
So we have come to share that with you.
所以呢，我们也来这儿跟大家分享。
And maybe we have Bhagavad Gita here. I don't know.
外面的话是
国
家梵歌。
好
的，
全体。
And I think we're also supposed to chant a little this evening. Yes.
Yes. So, do you want to expect them?
Huh?
Why they?
Yeah, give a little bit of explanation.
Sure. I would like to explain a little bit about chanting.
那我们接下来的一个部分呢，就是开始要就是一起唱诵，体验一下唱诵。但我呢，先做一些解释。
One of the things my spiritual master gave us, along with the many gifts.
啊，在我们的灵性导师给我们的很多的礼物当中，其中的一项礼物。
Is he gave us these names of Krishna that we chant?
就是给予神 Krishna 的那个名字。
And he just asked us to chant.
他只是要求我们去吟唱。
He said, "Please just simply take this mantra."
他说，你们就把这个 mantra 接受这个 mantra 就好了。
And by taking this mantra, your life will become successful.
你们只要接受这个 mantra， 你的人生的最后一定会变就成功。
He never asked for anything in return, charged for his mantra.
他从来没有说给你一个秘密的 mantra， 给我多少钱啊什么的这些的，他没有要这个回报。
I remember during that time.There were famous yogis who would give mantras and charge for.
那我记得当时在同时的那个时代，就有一个特别有名的一个瑜伽师，他给别人 mantra 的时候，他都是要钱。
But my spiritual master always said no. This must be given freely.
那我的灵性导师总是说，我要无条件的把这个 mantra 给你。
There's only one condition.
那当然无条件，但是还是有一个条件。
Condition is that you take it.
那个唯一的条件就是，请你接受它。
Nothing else was required, just take.
没有其他的要求，就是接受这个 mantra.
He used to give an example.
他曾经就是举例子。
He said that just like if I was offering you some nice sweet honey.
啊，就像比方说，我就是给你一些这个甜的这个蜂蜜。
And if you look at it, it might look like motor oil.
啊。
Motor oil.
啊，如果我给你蜂蜜。你如果只是看这个蜂蜜的话，你可能以为它就是机油嘛。
Because they look similar.
因为看上去一样，都是液体的黄色。
So he said, "How will you know?"
那你怎么才能知道究竟是什么呢
？I'm telling you, it's the sweetest honey you've ever tasted.
啊，我一直跟你说这个蜂蜜有多甜，但是你从来不去亲口去品尝。
The only way you know is you have to taste it yourself.
所以说，到底它到底是什么？是不是我说的这个样子？你要自己亲口去品尝。
So he'd say, "Please simply take this Hare Krishna mantra."
所以他就说，就接受这个 Hare Krishna mantra.
Consists of three words.
啊，这个 mantra 是由三个字组成的。
Hare Krishna and Rama.
Hare Krishna 还有 Rama.
And when we chant these names systematically,
当我们就是有系统的去吟诵吟唱这个
Because mantra means
mantra 的话
，the man means mind.
因为 mantra 梵文意思那个 man 的意思是心
，and tra it comes from the word triety to control the mind.
那 tra 的意思是控制心。
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "One who controls his mind, and he reaches that super soul within the heart."
那在《薄伽梵歌》里就说了，一个能够控制住自己心的人，就能够在自己的内心。达到那个就是找到那个超灵
，and he attains tranquility.
然后呢，就变得平静。
For such a man,
这样的人对这样的人来说
，heat and cold, happiness and distress,
冷热苦乐
，honor and dishonor,
荣辱
，they're all the same.
都是一样的。
He transcends duality.
因为什么呢？他超越了这种相对性。
When he learns to control the mind.
当他学习如何控制自己的心的时候，他就。
And he says, "One who controls his mind becomes his best friend."
而控制住自己心的人，那个心就成为自己最好的朋友。
But if one fails to control, it's his worst enemy.
但是呢，如果控制不了自己的心，心就是我们最大的敌人。
It's like living in a flat with an enemy.
啊，那这个就跟你跟那个一个敌人住在同一个。
Imagine living in the same flat with an enemy in the next room.
有人想要跟自己的一个敌人的住在同一个那个公寓吗
？They're always thinking about what they're going to do to harm you.
啊，那因为那个敌人唯一想的就是怎么能够伤害你。
Same thing with uncontrolled mind.
那同样的，就是不受控制的心对我们做的是同样的事情。
Uncontrolled mind is always looking for objects to strike.
因为不受控制的心总是在去寻找什么那些个对象。
And if somebody doesn't learn to control their mind, they'll be very easily influenced by many people who want your uncontrolled mind.
那如果 果一个人控制不了自己的心的话，就很容易受到那些个人，就是能够把你的心给拉走。
They'll offer us so many different types of allurements.
啊，他们就给你就是介绍很多很多的什么什么。
If you use this, you'll become happy.
啊，就跟你就介绍很多的东西，说你如果用这个，你就会变得快乐。
Just like our spiritual master used to give the example.
就像我们的领导是经常会举一个例子。
It's like some in the cigarette commercials.
啊，就是在那个香烟的那个。
They always try to make it look like if you smoke cigarettes, you'll be happy.
对，那个香烟的广告总是做的就是让你觉得抽烟是很快乐的一件事。
Because all the people who are smoking cigarettes, they're happy.
啊，因为所有那些
on the commercials
在那个广告里头，所有抽烟的人最后是很飘飘欲仙的，很快乐的感觉。
And when he was in America, he saw that they were selling these cigarettes called Cool.
那他在美国的时候看到他们就卖一种烟叫那个酷的，有那个牌子啊。
And he said,
清凉的抽烟。
Cool. Cool. He said they're smoking fire and they're calling it cool.
然后呢，那个领导就说，这些人他在吸那个火，但是呢，却把那个牌子叫做酷，冷那个清凉。
So someone is thinking, yes, this is cool.
那很多人就会觉得，哇，这个很酷。
It's cool. It's a cool cigarette.
这是个 cool cigarette.
They're smoking fire and they're calling it cool.
啊，尽管呢，就是他们就是吸那个火，但是呢，却把它称为啊清凉。
So many people will look for opportunities to take advantage of somebody who doesn't control their minds.
啊，所以呢，有那么多的人总是在寻找就是机会，就是那些个不受控制的人怎么能够去利用它。
So yoga means to control the mind.
而瑜伽的意思是控制自己的心。
So the most powerful method of controlling the mind.
那么最强有力的控制心的方式是
？Is mantra.
就是用那个 mantra.
Mantra is very powerful.
Mantra 是特别强有力。
Because within the mantra is invested the potency.
啊，因为在那个 mantra 里头已经有了那个注入了那个力量。
To control the mind,
注入了那个控制心的力量。
That's what makes a mantra different than any other sound.
这就是为什么 mantra 跟其他的声音都不一样的原因。
Just like if I was thirsty,
啊，就像比方说我口渴
，I could sit here and say, water, 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 water.
我可以坐在这儿一直不断的就在喊啊水啊水水水。
Or maybe I could say, water, 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 water.Water, water. Sing it.
或者我是很有节奏的，很有韵律的，在就是唱出那个水这个词。
But there's no potency.
但是没力量。
I'm still thirsty.
到最后我唱了半天，我还是很口渴。
Because the substance water and the name water are different.
因为那个水的实体跟水的名字是两样的东西。
Therefore, there's no potency in the word water.
因此呢，那个水的那个。名字里头没有那个水的那种解渴的力量。
But a mantra is invested with potency.
但是 mantra 却被注入了那个力量。
When one chants Krishna,
当人吟诵吟唱 Krishna,
that potency is there within the mantra.
那个力量本身就在那个 mantra 里。
Krishna manifests himself in his name.
Krishna 他是用他的这样的一个名字就来展示他自己。
And Because he appears when we chant his name.
那由于我们在吟诵吟唱他的名字的时候，他就出现了。
We can experience that presence in his name.
我们就能够感受到他就是透过他的名字就能够感受到他。
And because he is the reservoir of all pleasure.
而由于 Krishna 是一切快乐的那个泉源。
He can give a pleasure which is much greater than this.Temporary matter.
他所能够给予我们的快乐，比这种普通的物质所能给予我们的快乐的感觉
，as we said, everyone's looking for love.
而且就像我说的，每一个人都在寻求爱。
The real pleasure is in relationships.
而真正的那个快乐是
loving relationships,
是透过爱的关系感受到的。
It's very satisfying.
那种透过爱的关系感受到的快乐，让我们感到非常的满足。
So within the name of Krishna is Krishna.
而 在 Krishna 这个名字里头 Krishna 本身就在呢。
And when we chant Krishna,
而我们在吟诵吟唱 Krishna,
then Krishna agrees to appear in that sound vibration.
Krishna 本身他就同意透过 Krishna 这个声音震荡出现。
And the more we chant,
而我们吟诵吟唱的越多，
And the more we hear,
我们聆听这个声音震荡越多，
We find that we don't think about other things.
然后我们会发现其他的事我们都不想了。
Because it's more attractive.
因为这个是更有吸引力的。
It's just like a young child.
这个就像一个小孩子。
A young child, sometimes they might become attracted to playing with very dangerous things.
啊，那个小孩子有的时候就是他在玩一些很危险的一些东西，就会伤害他的。
Just like a young child might be attracted to playing with knives.
啊，就像比方说小孩子可能他就是很受那个刀的吸引，然后就去拿刀玩。
But if you try to take the knife away from the child,
但如果你这个时候想要把那个刀子从那小孩手里拿走的话，
it becomes more dangerous.
反而是更危险。
Why?
为什么呢？
Because the child will resist.
因为那个小孩他会抓住那个刀不放。
I want the knife.
我要刀，我要那个刀。
It's more dangerous. You try to take it away.
所以如果你就是硬生生的想要从他手里拿走那个刀的话，就变得更危险。
But if you take a nice colorful toy.
但是如果你拿一个特别颜色很漂亮的一个玩具给他，
and you hand it to the child,
然后你把它给这个孩子，
he has to drop the knife to take the toy.
那他就会自然而然就把刀扔下，然后去拿那个玩具。
In the same way,
同样道理，
we have so many thoughts in our minds.
我们心里头有脑海里头有各种各样的想法。
So many dreams of how to become happy.
啊，我们呢就。梦想着很多的梦想怎么能够变得快乐。
We become so bewildered. We have too many dreams.
啊，然后呢，由于我们有太多的梦想了，到最后我们就反而困惑。
And even when we get them,
哪怕是我们最后得到了我们梦想的东西，
we still need something else.
但是呢，我们又在想其他的东西是不是能让我们。
They're like dangerous knives.
所以这些东西就像这个危险的刀一样。
Because it can't satisfy.
因为它不可能真正的让你感动。
But when we chant Krishna,
但是我们吟诵吟唱
Hare
Krishna,
Krishna appears.
Krishna 马上就出现。
And we experience his presence, that presence in the name Krishna.
而我们马上就能够感受到他的临在。
Automatically the mind is controlled.
那个心自然而然就受到了控制。
So we chant the Hare Krishna mantra.
所以我们吟唱 Hare Krishna mantra.
And we'd like to share it with you.
我们想跟大家分享。
And maybe you can tell them how we chant, so that I'll chant first.
Okay.